And we're grateful that the Lord has blessed us that we might not only be here, but to be a part of what God is doing in our world and in the things that are happening around us. As we've said earlier, many times before, that we not only have a church that is in the community, we have a church that is for the community. We're doing a lot of things, our young people are, and I thank God that's increasing our visibility of what we are as a church of the living God. Now, on the fifth Saturday, which is July the 29th, my wife's birthday, we're going to be having a car show here at Crossroad, and that's going to be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I know we've already talked with some volunteers, so we're going to need you to. I was going to have a meeting today, but we've got some other things that came up. But be prepared that we can come and set up on Friday evening, which is the 28th, and get prepared for that Saturday where we'll be partnering with the Sheriff's Department of Campbell County and doing some things to increase safety and to be a blessing in our community. So we ask that you be a part of that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Also, on next Saturday, Mr. Esau Clark will be celebrating his birthday. He's 93, I believe it is, and going to be having a birthday at Meredith. Anyone who would like to be there, the time will be from 2 p.m. to 4, I believe, the time, and that'll be at Meredith's in Madison Heights, celebrating Mr. Esau Clark's birthday. So if you can be a part of that, we would love to have you there. Amen? Now, drum roll, please. All right. We're going to have homecoming. That's pretty good. We're going to have homecoming coming up August the 18th. We'll be having homecoming here at the church. And there will be one service only. It will be at 10 a.m. And our guest that will be closing out the service with a concert will be the gospel keynotes of Tyler, Texas. So we're excited about that. And after that, everybody grab a lunch and go home. Amen. Male chorus will be singing, but we're also going to have some voices that will be singing the opening songs with them. So we ask that you contact Joanne Sanders if you want to be a part of. Yeah, you. Okay. Contact Joanne, and we're going to have a rehearsal time. We'll be getting with Lee as our musician for that service. Going to have a great time in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God bless you.
It's yes. The
20th? Homecoming is the 20th. Okay, I stand corrected. It is the 20th. Don't come the 18th. Because you'll be early. You're going to miss the whole service. So that'll be on August the 20th at 10 a.m. We'll begin our services here at the church. Amen? All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to Luke chapter 18. We've been talking about the subject of prayer. And while you're turning to Luke 18, we asked the question the other Sunday, would Jesus have a cell phone? It reminded me of that this morning when we got into Sunday school, which, by the way, Sunday school is a tremendous blessing. So how many of you think that Jesus would have a cell phone? Okay, we got one, got two hands, got Z. Okay, she's saying, yeah, he'd have a cell phone. All right. All right. Now, we've been talking about prayer, right? We've been talking about prayer. I think you're going to find your answer as we get further into the study of prayer. Jesus might have a cell phone, but if you're going to pray, why would he need to talk to you over a cell phone?
Amen.
Just saying. Amen. Our scripture, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give a tenth of all that I get. And he didn't even say amen. Verse 13 says, and the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat upon his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I tell you the truth, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I just want to share a few thoughts on the subject, does God hear me? Does God hear me? You may be seated as we pray. Lord God Almighty, we are so thankful that you blessed us to be here in worship today. Thank you for the encouraging song that we've heard from the choir. And Lord, most of all, we just thank you for an opportunity that we can come together and just to say thank you for all of the amazing things that you've done in our lives. Brand new mercies met us this morning. Your goodness and your kindness shined upon us. And now we are alive and we can tell the story about your love and grace. Thank you so much. Bless as I endeavor to preach your word, even though I've studied, I cannot do it under my own ability. I must rely upon your Holy Spirit. So we thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Does God hear us when we pray? I'm quite sure that all of us have had those moments where we felt like maybe God didn't hear me. Certainly there were times when God did not answer your prayer the way that you thought he should have. And so you ask yourself, how effective is my prayer? That's a good question. That's a good question. A lot of us have doubts. A lot of us have feelings of unworthiness. We feel like we are not worthy to pray and to call upon God. I call that the awareness that we are a creature. Even at our best, we are a creature. And we are approaching Almighty, Holy God. There's none like him. We cannot approach him with arrogance because we know that he is far above us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. So then, the question is, does God hear me when I pray? We have to look at several things as we consider the topic of prayer and why do we pray. There are several things that we have to look at, and we have to be humble in prayer. Number one, because we need God. We desperately need him. There are a lot of things that we can do on our own within the human realm. But when it comes to those supernatural things, we must rely on Holy God. You got up this morning. You perhaps had the assistance of an alarm clock, but I can tell you that it wasn't the alarm clock that kept your heart beating. It was not that wake-up call that maybe you got on your cell phone that caused you to become alert and to wake up and to see another day. The old people had a way of saying that God had to touch you early this morning and let your golden moments run on for a little while longer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you need God. You not only need him in far as our physical ability and what we're able to do, but you need God every day. Your life depends on the grace and the mercy of God Almighty. I love the way that the psalmist David put this thing. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, with confidence, I shall not want. Why? Because God is there to meet your need. He's there to help you when you can't help yourself. But not only that, we have this thing about approaching God, and we have to do it with reverence. We have to do it with reverence. We have to do it as if God is perfect in every way, and we are not perfect in every way. Amen? Amen. Even though we might tell ourselves we're perfect sometimes, we're not. We're not. And God is a righteous God. We have this picture of God, and when Isaiah is in the temple, and he is praying to God in the temple, and all of a sudden he sees a vision from God. And in that vision, it has two angels, two angelic beings who cover their face, who cover their feet, and with two wings they are flying. These seraphim, they say to one another, "Holy," and the other says, "Holy is the Lord God Almighty." And in their proclamation of God's holiness, they cover themselves because they realize, even though they are mighty angels, God is almighty. Anytime you approach God, do not approach him with the attitude, "Well, he needs to hear me." He doesn't have to. You're the creature. He is God. And so when you say we reverence him, we respect him, we awe him, because if you ever saw the beauty of God, if you ever saw the holiness of God, you would see how powerful and how wonderful he is. Words cannot describe his glory. All of the writings in the world could not tell of all the wondrous things that he has done. His whole universe screams with the magnificence of God because he made them. We have to approach him with reverence when we pray. But not only that, we have to approach him as sinful creatures. We were born with Adam's nature. And born with Adam's nature, even though you say, "But I'm a good person," you still have sin as your basic nature. You might not do a whole lot of things, but it's certainly not on your behalf. It's because God is working in you to do those good things. All have sinned. The Bible didn't lie. Maybe you didn't do what I did, and I didn't do what you did, but all of us did something. Look at somebody and tell them, "All of us did something." And for that reason, we pray. We pray. One of the sweetest prayers that you will ever pray is that, "God, I'm a sinner, and I need you to forgive me." God will hear your prayer. If there's someone online, if you're having doubts whether God will forgive you, you're alive today, so you got another chance. Go on, try him. You'll see he'll answer you. Pray that prayer. Ask that God would work in your life. So prayer means something. And certainly when you have in your mind to respect God and honor God, the Lord's going to hear you. If you're sincere about it, God's going to hear you. Doesn't matter whether you can pray like this one or pray like that one, you pray your prayer. And if you're having any doubts about it, get into the Word. There are many prayers in the Bible where people have prayed effectively. And it leaves us an example that we too can call on the name of the Lord. Amen? I thank God early this morning when I got out of my bed. You know, as I say, you get older and you don't just jump up like you used to. Young people, y'all can jump up. Old folk can't do that. Amen. We throw one leg over the side of the bed and then get the other one over there. And then first thing I do before I see if the leg's working, I say, "Let me try my knees first." I figure if I can get on my knees, I'm all right. But we pray. We pray because it is urgent that you call on the name of the Lord. God wants you to pray. He's welcoming your prayer. In the book of Revelation, we find out that the Lord had to cease everything else in heaven. He caused a holy hush to come across glory because his people were praying. Amen. God wants to hear your prayer. Amen. He wants to hear you call upon his name and know that he is God. So what about this business of prayer? We're going to get into a passage today that's going to help us a little bit about understanding, how do you approach God? Does God hear me when I'm praying? We need to learn how to approach him. And one thing we learn is that we can't pray in a way as if we're supposed to tell God how much he needs to bless us. He's already determined that, amen? Amen? I don't want to limit my prayer with my own understanding, amen? Amen? So two men went up to pray. Two men. went up to pray. Two people representing two different approaches to how to pray. One came before God one way. I believe he was a good guy. I don't think anything was wrong with him outwardly, but something definitely was going on inside of him. And so here's what you do when you don't want God to hear your prayer. Jesus taught this parable for the basic reason that there were people who trusted in themselves. There's your lead-in. Luke, I like the way Luke did this. We talked about it last week. Luke gave you a segue into prayer, that it is urgent that you always pray. But now he's giving you another segue into prayer and saying you got to be careful how you approach God. You don't just come in, as they might say, sideways, confident in yourself, knowing that you have done some great and awesome things. That's well and good, but you better recognize who you're talking to, because you're talking to the Lord. So Luke tells us that in verse 9, he tells us, and he spoke this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves, who had self-confidence but not God confidence. They considered themselves to be righteous. Let me just say a little bit about the Pharisees. They rose to power in what we call the silent years of Israel. They rose to power 400 years where God was not really speaking directly to the people in Israel. It's between what we might call the Old Testament and the New Testament. 400 years. And this group of people, the Pharisees, rose to power during the Maccabean era. All I know is there was a Maccabean folk. But they were a group of people that stood up who were patriotic, who believed in Israel, who believed in maintaining the state of Israel. So they stood up against the opposing forces. And that's how this group called the Sadducees and Pharisees rose to power. But they became a menace to Jesus in his ministry. Why? Because they were not really concerned about doing God's will. They wanted to do things their way. They came up with a code, a system of how you ought to live your life. And I'm not going to get a long ways into it. But anytime you got a whole bunch of rules that you got to live by, help me somebody. And it does not come from your heart. Why are you doing it? I'm doing it because we got this rule here. Lord have mercy, I'll not get into this in church. Some churches, you can't stand in certain places because of the fact that we got rules. Oh, you don't stand there. Well, wait a minute. The parking lot is holy. The pew you're sitting on is holy. What makes one spot holier than another spot if the Lord made everything? Come on now, come on. I'm just saying. So the Pharisees had a way of their rules, and don't get me wrong. I believe that certain things ought to be done to prevent chaos, but if it gets to the point where it's hindering the work of God, we got to examine it. We got to ask ourselves, is it right? I see now y'all kind of, Think about it. Your righteousness can never exceed God's righteousness because you depend on him. He's the one that teaches you. He's the one that guides you. So Luke, getting into this prayer, he zones in on this Pharisee, and he says about this Pharisee, they were confident in themselves. But not only that, they looked down on everybody else. Better than. You know, I've heard people say in their prayers, and I know you mean well. I'm not trying to put you down. Lord, bless those who are less fortunate than me. It's like running your fingers down a chalkboard. What makes you better? Who says you're better? We all need God. Try catching your next breath without him. Try breathing that next breath without God touching your body. Try getting a heartbeat if the Lord wasn't there. But I thank God I got Jesus, amen? And that's enough. So Luke is getting into this thing. I would say a little bit more about it, but this man is praying, and I want us to be quiet for a little bit as we hear him praying. So what does he say? He uses 30 words and uses the personal pronoun I 5 times in his prayer. So it says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give a tenth of all that I have. Well, whoop-de-doo. Isn't that something? The only time he mentions God is in the opening. All the other words are about him and what he's done. I thank God for accomplishments. I thank God that we can recognize people when they accomplish things, but you better know who helped you do it. Amen. You need to know the foundation of your life. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I'm getting ready to preach now. If it had not been Jesus who made a way out of no way, if it had not been God who looked down upon you, you don't know where you would be today. That's why I thank God I'm in the service one more time. And I came for the specific reason of giving God glory. Who told us that we were better than somebody else? Who told us that we can look down on other people? Where in the world did we get that notion in our mind that because I can sing a certain way, that makes me doesn't make you a better person. God gave you a voice, but he gave somebody else something else. Amen? Maybe they can only make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Y'all can go and shout now. So we have to look at how we're praying. And Jesus is bringing this thing out because he wants you to pray an effective prayer. He wants you to be able to call on God. The Pharisees prayed or thought he was praying, but he was really using, amen, his religious experience to play a game of mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And he didn't get the prayer through. He said something. But it wasn't something that God could receive. Self-glorification, self-promotion was on his mind. Let me do it. Let me get the praise and the accolades. Let me do this thing. But God had to bless him to even be alive. And I believe that this was a warning to other Pharisees. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think that God is a Pharisee's hater. No, he doesn't hate anybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and it included this Pharisee. The lesson was given so that if a Pharisee heard it, he would say to himself, wait a minute, how am I praying? That's why I'm trying to help some of you out, because you're running into prayer barriers because you're praying wrong. But if you would get on your knees, and you don't have to use a whole lot of words, all you got to say is, Lord, I need you every day and every hour, and I believe God will hear your prayer. Can I get a witness in here? See, I'm trying to help you. You don't have to impress God. You don't have to write down what you're going to pray. If that's not your way of praying, pray it from your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the... I wish I had somebody to help me today. And another thing, I'm going to talk about it, you know, because some of you all don't believe in the Holy Spirit's power. You got to have everything proper. Amen. But since I started to believe in, I got the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Spirit working in my life. I could not do things without the Holy Spirit. Let me just break it down to you. I would still be on the corner, or in my case, down in the country, drinking liquor on Sunday morning by the tree, talking about God, but not getting close to God. That's where I would be if it had not been for the Holy Spirit. And what I'm trying to do is, what I'm trying to help you out is, you need the Holy Spirit. You can't get that spiritual that you can pray the right prayer, do the right thing. You would cuss like everybody else. Come on, somebody. You lose your cool just like everybody else. If you look at the world that we're going in, the world we're living in, the world is going crazy. Now, what's going to hold you together? Nothing but the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit that He sent back. Every time you get ready to get upset, here comes the Holy Spirit. Calm down now. Amen. On your job, you get ready to say something, the Holy Spirit said, don't say that. Amen. How many of y'all have been in the middle of getting ready to say something and the Holy Spirit puts a hush on you? Amen. Help me, somebody. And then the Lord will tell you, you don't have to say anything. All you got to do is stand up for what's... Oh, God, I wish I had a witness here. See, you got to rely on His power and not your own. Here comes the second man who's praying. And I believe that he is led to pray. Number one, he is convicted of his sin. I like it when folk come to church under conviction. And you can spot them a mile away. Why? They got their head hung down. Something going on in their life. They don't really want to be at church, but God drove them there. Come on, somebody. But then you can tell folk who are self-righteous, sanctified. They get in church. They're just as comfortable. Hey, look. Might not even speak to you, but they're in church. Come on, talk to me up in here. But when you got somebody who know they don't deserve it, amen, they kind of sit back, what we call in the old folks' language, shame-faced. He stood afar off. And I'm going to give you a couple of things. I'm trying not to get too happy on this thing, but I prayed like that guy one day. I was that sinner. I didn't say a whole lot. He only uses 7 words. But his 7 words hit heaven. And what you want to do before you go out of here today, you want the words that you say to touch glory. How about that, folks? Y'all ready to go with this? Number one, let's look at his position of praying. When the Jewish believer would come into the temple, especially when they were offering some type of sin offering, It was the custom that they go up to the priest, stand there, and the priest would take some of the blood and dip it upon or their head and lay hands on it. You're forgiven of your sin. This man, his position is, I'm not even worthy to get that close, but I still need God. Notice he stood at a distance. I like it when folk come to church and they sit on the back row, because then I focus on them. Yeah. I see you back row. That doesn't mean they don't have God in their life. It simply means that some of them feel like, you know what, I'm just so thankful to be here. If I got to sit on the back seat, I'll sit on the back seat. Because I love the Lord, because He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Let me hear something from the back pew folk. Amen. Yeah, they hear. Yeah, they hear. But your position is very important. It doesn't mean that, again, no place is holier than any place else. What about the position of your heart? What about it when the Holy Spirit is reminding you of some thing that you didn't do this past week? And here you come to pray, and you want to impress God because, well, I've been in church a long time. God is not really concerned about how long you've been in church. He's concerned about what's going on in your life. Your position in prayer is critical to God because He wants to talk to you. He wants to let you know that you got to get it right. I've sat on one of those back pews many times, and God reminded me, you got to get this right. Someone is under conviction today because God is saying the same thing to you. You got to get it right. But you're in the right place at the right time to get a blessing from God. But not only was his position important, but his penitence. That's a big word. penitence. What did he do? How did he pray? What was his not only position in prayer, but how did he act? And it gives the language he smote upon his breast. Not like Tarzan. No. He did it in shame. When the Jewish people realized that they had crucified a righteous man, the Bible says they smote their breast. Oh man, I could kick myself. How did I do that? How many of y'all ever been there? You knew what the right thing was, but you did the wrong thing. Oh man. Oh, I can't believe it. I did that. He smote upon his breast in deep sorrow, deep agony. Here's the way we put it in our language. God, I messed up. Hard for folks to admit. God, I messed up. I let you down and I let myself down. I messed up. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get a whole lot further with God when you pray that kind of prayer. Rather than saying, oh, it was a little thing. It was just a small little sin. But that small little sin nailed Jesus to the cross. He didn't just die for big sins, murderers, extortioners. He died for the little sin. He died for the little ones who sometimes don't obey their parents. Uh-oh, you didn't think I was coming to talk to y'all, did you? He died for those that get back when they know more than parents. You know, I used to be real smart when I was about y'all age. Yeah, I did the same. I sucked my teeth until one day my mama asked me, do you want those teeth? But Christ died because we realized we messed up. The message of the gospel will never have any impact until people admit, God, I messed up. And yet social media has said, no, you didn't mess up. Let's just share it. Let's just put it out there for everybody and they'll add their like. That ain't getting you into heaven. I got to finish preaching, but this message means something because you can't pay for your sin with penitence, but you can act like you need God to help you. That's the whole point. This tax collector, traitor to his own nation, collecting taxes. I mean, when I was working for the Commissioner of Revenue in Campbell County, I had one guy to call me on the phone because we had this thing called a BPO tax, or business and personal license tax, that we had to register people for. If you had a business, you had to pay it. And so he got mad at me. He said, and you're a preacher? I said, yeah. And you're a tax collector? And then, you know, I started feeling some kind of way. But then after a while, I kind of figured out, wait a minute, I got the Virginia Code behind me. And this guy ain't got nothing to go on. I said, yeah, and you need to pay your taxes. So you all are looking at a former tax collector. People considered me to be a traitor. Considered me to be somebody, all you want is money for the county. I said, yep, go and pay it. That pays my salary. But to be a Jew and to be a tax collector, when the Jews said we're free people, we don't pay taxes to Rome or anybody else, and yet this publican, this tax collector, how dare you? And he felt some kind of way when he came into the temple. Everybody looking at him. It's like the local town drunk. If he should decide to come to church, everybody turn around in their seat, especially if they smell something. He could have used Listerine and you ain't been drinking. What about you before God cleaned you up? What did Christ do for you? If you're here and Christ has done nothing for you, then you're not saved. He smote upon his breast. What did he do after that, preacher? He showed deep poverty. Seven words. What were the seven words? God. Number one, recognize who made you. God. Yeah, you got a name, but God is first. Always. You put him last, guess what? He can put you last. Amen. You put him first, guess what God's going to do? He's going to put you first. Amen. This man knew how to pray. He knew somewhere in his religious training, somewhere his mother had told him about God's mercy. Somewhere somebody had whispered to him one of the Psalms that said, his mercy endures forever. And the man said to himself, God, have mercy on me. How many of y'all need God's mercy today? That song, Your Grace and Mercy Brought Me Through. Garland, it's all right when you know you got up this morning because of God's mercy. When you're on your way because of God's mercy, this man said, Lord, I don't want riches. I don't want silver. I don't want gold. I don't want to prove anything. All I want is for you to have mercy on me. Now, the question that we've been asking ourselves, did God hear his prayer? His petition was that the Lord would have mercy. One prayer, simple prayer, came to God. I want you today, think about the greatest need in your life. Before you go out here today, I want you to exercise your right to pray. What is it that you want God to do? Make it plain. Used to work in community action. They were talking about building what we call a mission statement, and it has to be short. It has to be memorable. It has to be something that you can relate to. And what I want you to do is to pray a prayer that is memorable. Something that you can relate to. Don't come up with the big words. Don't come up with all of the things that you might feel it will flatter God. He's not looking for your flattery. He wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants to hear from you. And if you call upon the Lord, I guarantee you, he'll hear you. So everybody say, what happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. I'm going to skip out of my work here. Okay. Well, I'm going to close that out. Amen. When you pray, and you pray as you ought to, the verse tells us, Jesus looked at the crowd, and I'm quite sure that the Pharisee was still walking away where he could hear it. And the man that had prayed that prayer, he also can hear it. He said, only one went down to his house justified. Only one. Not the self-righteous man. But the one who prayed, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I don't know what you call yourself today, but there are some times we have to admit to God, I'm not all that, Lord, but I'm praying. I'm praying. When Isaiah saw the Lord, the glory of God, as he prayed, he cried out, woe is me. He was a guy that had been raised as a priest, a leader among his people. And yet he's humbling himself and calling out to God, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, Isaiah chapter 6. He cries out to God, but God dispatches an angel from heaven. And the angel comes down. And the Bible said he touches the lips of Isaiah. Imagine this now, a hot burning coal. How many of y'all ever burnt your lip before? God takes a hot burning coal from the altar of God and touches his altar, which touches his lips, which means it's going to be painful for you to admit that. But when you admit it, your soul is going to be satisfied. Something on the inside is going to say, I reached heaven. And the angel said to him, your sin is forgiven you. What a wonderful thing to be justified before God. So I close with Jesus' words. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God's going to lift you up. God's going to hear your prayer. Amen? Is that good news? As a matter of fact, he's already heard your prayer. He's already answered you. He's already given you everything you need, and all you got to do is rejoice and be glad. Amen? Amen? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for speaking to me today, for talking to my heart and helping me to understand that you do hear prayer. And Lord, as I had studied this message, I had yet so many things to realize about your goodness and your love, that you welcome us. You want us to come before you with thanksgiving and to humble ourselves in your presence. And God, we're so grateful. And while we're praying, Lord, we're not just praying for ourselves, but we're praying for others. Perhaps there's somebody, God, who is lost, someone who has problems and burdens on their shoulder, and they need you to help them. Would you hear their prayer today? Would you answer them, God? And as the man prayed, would you have mercy? Would you pardon all of their sins and grant their needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing us and keeping us in your will. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. And the whole church said, amen, amen. God bless you. Going to give the invitation if there be one today. If there be one. I'm going to sing this little song, just a little verse of it. Everybody stand. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. How many of you know that today? God has smiled on me. He's been. This is a prayer now. We're still praying. Oh, you believe it? Say it now. God always smiled. One day he set me free. I'm a believer and I know that God. Oh, God has. He's been good. Can I just say this verse? He is the source of all my joy. Oh, he fills me with his love. The grace that I employ, he sends it on down from above. Can I get a witness in the building? Oh yeah. God has always smiled. He set me free. Oh, I love the Lord today because God has always smiled. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Been so good. Been so good. Look at somebody tell me. Been so good. Been so good. Oh, he's been. Yeah, come on, give him praise. Give him praise in here today. God's been good. God's been good. God's been merciful. God's been kind. God looked down on you. God looked down on me. Had mercy on me. That's why he's good today. That's why he's good. Lord, you're good. You're good. You're good, Lord. You're good, Lord. You're good. You're good, Lord. You're good. You are good. And thank you for all that you've done. And let the church say amen. God bless you. Ask the officers to come. Amen.
Good morning, church. While the officers coming down, I would like to say something. The pastor put me on the spot this morning.
Yeah, I did.